Throughout the Gospels, we find examples of Jesus having heart-to-heart conversations with people. Sometimes Jesus would initiate these conversations, and sometimes people would come up to Jesus and start talking. They would ask him some of their deepest questions. In today's scripture passage from the Gospel of John, we'll see that Jesus engages a blind man in deep conversation, and then he heals him. He gives him vision. And while this should have been a moment of celebration, some of the Pharisees weren't happy with this miracle. They started asking lots and lots of questions, but they really weren't interested in learning the truth. They weren't interested in getting to know Jesus. So let's listen now to our scripture passage. I invite you to open to the 9th chapter of the Gospel of John. I'll read verses 1 through 12. Again, this is John chapter 9, verses 1 through 12. And if you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn there and follow along as I read. And this is what the scripture says. As he walked along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's works might be revealed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva and spread the mud on the man's eyes, saying to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. Then he went and washed and came back able to see. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar began to ask, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" Some were saying, "It is he." Others were saying, "No, but it is someone like him." He kept saying, "I am the man." But they kept asking him, "Then how were your eyes opened?" He answered, "The man called Jesus made mud, spread it on my eyes, and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' Then I went and washed and received my sight." They said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I do not know." Amen. Oh God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you. Amen. Well, as of today, my youngest child is now a teenager. So happy birthday to you, Owen. It's really hard to believe that Owen is 13, which just reminds me he's growing up really fast, and I'm growing old really fast. And my body, in its own way, is communicating that same message. I'm losing my hair, and my kids are pointing that out every day. And my vision isn't what it used to be. Thank you. Thank you, Yinka. Well, apparently, I have a medical condition called presbyopia. Now, if you are near 50 years old or older, chances are you're dealing with the same thing. Presbyopia is a technical word that essentially means old eyes. It has to do with the fuzzy vision that most of us get as we grow older, and it leads us to start using eyeglasses for reading and then everything else. Now, vision's on our minds today because of the scripture passage that I just read. In that passage we just heard to, we witnessed Jesus walking down the road with his disciples when they came across a blind man. And immediately the disciples asked Jesus a question. They said, "Rabbi, Who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Now, I want to pause here and point out that this man was more than a case study. He was a human being with hopes and dreams and, of course, feelings. And because he had been blind since birth, he probably had excellent hearing. And that meant he could hear what the disciples were saying. So how do you think the disciples' question made him feel? Now, that's a question he probably had heard before, because in those days, most people assumed that serious health problems and disabilities were a punishment from God. This man had grown up in a world that told him he was cursed, and that was reinforced by religion. Now, many rabbis of that time would have had an easy answer to the question that the disciples asked. They would have said that since he had been blind since birth, it couldn't possibly be his own sin that made him blind. It could only be the sins of his parents. But you notice Jesus didn't answer that way. He answered the disciples' question in a much different way. It wasn't a typical response. And really, to everyone's surprise, he said, neither this man nor his parents sinned. And that answer was a break from tradition. And then Jesus added, he was born so that God's works might be revealed in him. Now, that answer may raise a bunch of questions for us about cause and effect. Did God cause or allow a child to be born blind so that he could grow up and then later make an appearance in the Gospel of John just so Jesus could perform a miracle? Now, such a literal reading of Jesus in this situation gets in the way of appreciating the deeper message of this story, that we human beings are sometimes blind to God. Sometimes we're blind to what's right in front of us. And for that reason, Jesus wants us to pay attention. He wants us to be on the lookout for what God is going to do. Now, this is when we come to the really gross part of this story. Jesus spat on the ground, and he made up a muddy concoction that he then spread on the blind man's eyes. I want to point out that in the Gospels, Jesus used a variety of methods to heal people. Sometimes he touched people. Sometimes he simply spoke a word. You may remember from the 10th chapter of Mark that Jesus healed a blind man named Bartimaeus by simply saying, your faith has made you well. Now, in light of this, why did Jesus feel the need to mix up his spit with dirt in order to heal the blind man from John chapter 9? That seems like such a primitive thing to do. Well, I think the answer may have something to do with the disciples' question. Now, keep in mind that when they asked their question, they had voiced the prevailing wisdom of their age. But they also were incredibly insensitive to the feelings of the blind man. He had dealt with darkness his entire life. He never knew anything different. And over the years, he had heard people mock him. And it wouldn't have been unusual if some of them had spit on him, because they thought he was cursed by God. So when Jesus heard, when he heard Jesus making up this pile of mud with his spit, this blind man probably expected the worst. He thought Jesus might sling some mud on him as an insult. But Jesus did something totally different, something totally unexpected. He took his muddy concoction and gently spread it over the blind man's eyes. And then he told him to wash it off in the pool of Siloam. Now, I ended our scripture reading just around that point, but the story goes on for the rest of the chapter, through the end of chapter 9, and I would encourage you to read that later. And in this passage, there's a long stretch where Jesus isn't involved in the scene. Instead, the story follows the blind man and what happened to him. And we learn that he did just as Jesus had instructed, by washing his face in the pool of Siloam, and immediately he could see for the first time in his life. It was like he was given a new set of eyes. Now, this was an incredible miracle, and you would have thought that this would have sparked lots and lots of celebration and rejoicing from everyone who witnessed it. But that wasn't the case. In fact, the opposite happened. This reminds me that one of the features of human communities, and this is not a positive feature, is that they don't often adapt all that well to change. In the blind man's community, there was a well-established pecking order that Jesus had turned on its head. The blind man had been at the bottom his entire life, which meant people had no problem mistreating him and abusing him and even spitting on him. But Jesus' miracle changed all that. And those at the top of the pecking order, the Pharisees, weren't happy about this. And they weren't happy with Jesus. They really were suspicious of him and the work that he was doing, because he was making a bigger and bigger impact every day. So the Pharisees confronted the formerly blind man and peppered him with questions. But they really weren't interested in learning more about who Jesus is. They were just trying to get the answers they wanted to hear. And what they wanted to hear was something bad about Jesus. Now, the Pharisees had heard that Jesus performed this miracle on the Sabbath, which meant they thought he was working on the Sabbath, and now they were looking for some evidence to prove it. Now, if Jesus had simply said to this blind man, "Your faith has made you well," then there wouldn't have been a problem. But because Jesus whipped up that muddy concoction, some of the Pharisees saw that as work on the Sabbath, and thus they believed he was breaking God's law. Of course, not all the Pharisees felt this way. They all weren't in agreement. Some of them looked at what Jesus did and believed he was acting as an instrument of God. Now, the Pharisees were obviously divided, but the hardliners among them wouldn't let this situation rest. They weren't convinced that Jesus performed a miracle. They thought maybe this was a hoax. Maybe this man really wasn't blind to begin with. And so they asked him one question after another, and then they asked him who he thinks Jesus is. And you know how he answered that? He said Jesus is a prophet. That's a powerful claim to make, because it linked Jesus to people like Moses and Elijah. And the Pharisees didn't like that answer. So they switched directions and they tried to undermine this man's testimony. They called in his parents and they asked them, "Is this your son?" To which they answered, "Yes." And then the Pharisees said, "Tell us how it is that he's no longer blind." Well, they had no idea. So the Pharisees went back to the formerly blind man, and they said to him that they know that the man who healed him is a sinner. They were confident about that. Well, he answered them by saying, "What would I know about that? All I know is that I was once blind, but now I see. Well, the Pharisees were still not getting the answers they wanted to hear. So they asked him again about how Jesus healed him. And he responded by saying, "Come on, guys, I've already told you. Why are you asking again? Do you want to become one of his disciples?" That's kind of a snarky answer to give. But you can't blame him. He was tired of all those questions. The greatest thing to happen in his life just happened. But some of those Pharisees were more concerned with Jesus making mud on the Sabbath. So finally, the formerly blind man said, "If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." Well, that hit a nerve with the Pharisees. They didn't like it. And thus, they drove him from their presence, and they condemned him as a sinner. And this is the point at which Jesus comes back into the story. He had heard what the Pharisees had done to the man that he healed. And so Jesus went searching for him. And when he found that man, he asked him, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" The formerly blind man answered him, saying, "Who is he? Tell me, so that I can believe in him." And Jesus said, "You have seen him, and the one speaking to you is he." And immediately the formerly blind man said, "Lord, I believe." And then he fell down and worshiped. Now that man had received new eyes from Jesus. He was given vision in both the physical sense and the spiritual sense. Now, what about us? What sort of new eyes do we need? And I, of course, am not talking about bifocals or cataract surgery, though you might need that. What I'm talking about are the ways that we see with the eyes of the soul. And when we talk about seeing with the eyes of the soul, it's looking at life in a much different way than we might in our natural way. When we look at the people of the world, for instance, do we see them as cursed, or do we see them as God sees them, as children with infinite potential? When we look at people who are different from us, like those of other races and religions, do we assume certain things about them based on old prejudices, or do we approach each encounter with an openness to whatever God wants to show us? When we look at the physical world around us, do we see it only in the way a scientist might see it, as a place governed by physical laws? Or do we see it as the place where God rules, where miracles sometimes happen? And when we think about Jesus Christ, do we see him only as a teacher or a rabbi? Or do we see him as the risen Lord who walks beside us, who invites us into relationship, who shares love with us, who guides us in the way we should go? Do we see him as our Savior? Some of the Pharisees had no interest in seeing Jesus in this way, even though Jesus stood right in front of them. Now, they asked a lot of questions, but they really didn't want to know Jesus. They didn't want to learn from him. What about you? Do you really want to know Jesus? Do you want to have the eyes to see who he is and to learn from him and to grow with him? If you want to know Jesus at a deeper level, then I encourage you to pray for the gift of new eyes to see with the eyes of the soul. And that's a gift that God is eager to give to each and every one of us. Would you pray with me? Oh God, we've been reminded today that our experience of you is often limited by our own vision. Sometimes we're blind to you, and so we pray that you would open our eyes so that we can see you and learn from you and know you more deeply. And we pray that we would never lose sight of you and that we would stay in relationship with you, where we can learn and grow and find the help and the guidance we need. And we pray all of this in the name of Christ. Amen.